I'm science reporter Fiona Pepper.
And I'm Dr. Carl.
73 seconds after launch, something unthinkable happened to the Space Shuttle Challenger.
Obviously a major malfunction.
We could not believe what we were seeing. The Challenger Legacy.
Join us as we uncover what really happened.
Listen now by searching Science Friction on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
May 2016. It's evening and Berta Cáceres is just arriving home. Her friend Gustavo is visiting from Mexico and will be staying over. Since the last time he saw her, Berta's won the highest award for grassroots activism, the 2015 Goldman Environmental Prize, worth almost $270,000. And she wins it for protecting a river sacred to the indigenous Lenca people. $270,000 is a lot of money in Berta's home country, Honduras. Berta and Gustavo pull up to a modest house in an isolated area. The house is small, made of wood, surrounded by a ring wire fence. It's been built on waste ground of some kind. Berta is meant to have a security detail, but tonight they're nowhere to be seen. Gustavo notices. Berta, this house isn't safe, he says. But they go inside anyway. Gustavo's an activist, and he's come to stay at her place for the night. Tomorrow, he'll give a presentation at her organization. Berta's happy to have company. Her children are adults, and they've all flown the nest. That evening, the pair hang out on her veranda. Gustavo smokes a couple of cigarettes. They chat. And around 11 p.m, they head to their bedrooms. The night is dead silent. Gustavo lays in bed, working away on his computer, when suddenly, there's a loud crash from somewhere in the house. Like a cupboard or something heavy has fallen over. Berta shouts out, "Who's there?" But no one answers. Hello, my friend. I'm Aslan Pahari, and this is Assassins, the show where we tell the stories of the world's most shocking assassinations. And today, the killing of Berta Cáceres, an indigenous activist in Honduras murdered for defending a sacred river. In the lead-up to Berta's assassination, powerful multinationals came up against the indigenous Lenca people of Rio Blanco. All this in the deadliest country in the world per capita for environmental activists. The vast majority of those killings go unpunished, but Berta's was the first time in almost 20 years that a businessman was convicted for it. Here's her story. David Castillo texts Berta Cáceres a lot. "Where are you going? How are you, my dear? Let me help you out," that kind of thing. You might mistake them for friends, but as an ex-military intelligence officer, Castillo is well-versed in working a mark. He knows how to apply the right kind of pressure. Castillo spent 4 years of training at the prestigious West Point Military Academy in the United States. He served in the Honduran Army, and now he's founder and head of an energy company called DESA. Castillo wants to build a hydroelectric dam on the Gualcarque River, the sacred Gualcarque River. That puts him in direct conflict with the region's largest indigenous group, the Lenca. And there's one member of the Lenca in particular who has become his biggest obstacle, Berta Cáceres. That's where all the text messages come in. David Castillo and DESA have powerful supporters. They're backed by the Honduran authorities, by an arm of the World Bank, by European development banks. They're even backed by the world's biggest hydropower developer, Chinese state-owned Sinohydro. They say the project will bring jobs and infrastructure to Honduras. Tens of millions of dollars are on the line. Steyo keeps applying pressure every way he knows. Flattery, promises, assurances. He talks to Berta like they're old friends, like he wants the best for her. When that doesn't work, he tries subtle warnings, implied threats. But Berta Cáceres doesn't budge. So he raises the stakes. He has her followed. He knows where she's traveling, and what she's wearing, things she said around her own dinner table, even what her youngest daughter's plans are for the future. And he makes sure she knows it. The meaning is clear, but it makes no difference. Berta doesn't move. They're toe-to-toe, and someone has to break. Berta grew up in La Esperanza, Western Honduras. As a child, she's steeped in politics and activism. Her mum, Ostra Berta Flores Lopez, is a midwife in the Honduran countryside. She's also been the mayor of their hometown, a congresswoman and the governor of Intibucá. So Berta knows how to deal with powerful people. She's learned from her mother. In her day-to-day life, Berta's warm and empathetic. But when she goes up against authority, she can make herself big and intimidating. Her friends say she speaks like a machine gun. At age 22, she sets up the organization that will become central to her life's work. The Council of Popular and Indigenous Organizations of Honduras, or COPIN. With it, she will go on to block some of the world's biggest companies wanting to profit from her country's resources. It's 2006. Berta is now 35 years old. A Lenca community in Rio Blanco begins noticing strangers taking measurements along their roads. Trucks, tractors, and construction equipment start arriving. The locals fear for their sacred Gualcarque River. They're not sure who's behind it, but they do know one thing. It's time to call in the cavalry, Berta Cáceres and COPIN. What the Lenca see happening in their backyard is happening all over Central and South America. American, Chinese, and European developers all want a slice of these pristine lands and waters for logging, for cattle grazing, for hydroelectric dams. By 2010, the DESA consortium has begun construction on the dam in their community. The Lenca say there hasn't been a proper consultation process. They argue that the dam will breach international protections for indigenous people and that it will likely contaminate the water and land nearby. DESA says the protesters will oppose any development no matter what it involves. It says they have all the right approvals and that the Lenca are trespassing. What follows are court cases and a dial-up of civil disobedience. April Fool's Day 2013. A group of Lenca gather by an ancient oak tree on the banks of the Rio Gualcarque. They position themselves between the dam project machinery and their river. Excavators, bulldozers, trucks, nothing can get through. They're planning to stay there until the project is withdrawn. Many turn up barefoot. They live simple, sustainable lives, and they're here to defend that harmony. They dig a trench to block the road down to the river. They erect a stick and wire fence, and they settle in. Family and friends come and go so that there are always people maintaining the blockade. The Lenca aren't a small group of tribes. They're a network of over 600 communities in Honduras alone. While they wait this out, they read each other passages from the Bible. Many indigenous communities here have converted to Catholicism after repeated conquests of the region, but they keep aspects of their traditional nature worship alive. The Lenca believe that they are the ancestral guardians of the river, which is inhabited by feminine spirits in the form of three little girls. The river must be allowed to flow freely. Their peaceful blockade lasts for almost 2 years, but the peace is one-sided. Berta and Copin face a campaign of threats, harassment, and trumped-up legal charges. Every now and then, the Honduran authorities provide Berta with protection, but it can't be counted on. Her security often just don't show up. Berta is growing more and more concerned. She confides in her sister. Quote, "The messages never stop. The harassment never stops. They have me under surveillance. They don't care that I have children. Those sons of bitches are going to kill me." When her children start getting threats, she sends them abroad. Two daughters and a son flee. Berta stays. But Berta is hardly the only target. Copin says many of their indigenous leaders have been detained, interrogated, and threatened. Their vehicles have been sprayed with bullets. Windows in their houses have been shot out. Just months into their human blockade in 2013, Berta's colleague, Thomas Garcia, is shot dead by soldiers. The soldiers had been protecting the dam site when Chinese workers started construction. A year later, another local colleague, Maria Dominguez, is slashed by machete-wielding assassins. She'd been part of the blockade since day one. The attack leaves her with a deep scar across her face. When her husband and son come to her aid, they're injured too. One of the attackers cuts off her 12-year-old son's ear. But while Thomas Garcia was killed by soldiers, Maria's is a different story. It wasn't soldiers who hurt her, but her own neighbours. Locals who want developments like the dam to go ahead. Not everyone wants to keep living the way they have been. Some see environmentalists as hindering progress, preventing them from escaping poverty. Most Lenca farm cash crops like coffee, subsistence crops like corn, beans and squash, or fish the local waters. And it's true, the dam could flood their arable land, contaminate their water sources, and wreak havoc on the environment. But it could also bring development, connectivity, maybe even prosperity. When Berta wins the Goldman Environmental Prize in 2015, she's catapulted to global headlines. It's the most prestigious award in grassroots environmentalism. This level of exposure should bring an added layer of protection, the protection of becoming globally prominent. Her daughters begin to feel safe. Her youngest later says, quote, "My mum was so well known that I really doubted anything serious would happen to her. I thought meeting the Pope and winning the Goldman Prize would protect her." But it didn't. We return to the evening of May 2nd, 2016. Berta and her friend Gustavo have called it a night and retreated to separate bedrooms. They hear a loud crash bang. "Who's there?" Berta calls out from her room. Two men are breaking into the kitchen. One makes a beeline to Berta's room, the other to Gustavo's. Suddenly, less than 2 meters away, there's a gunman. He quickly scans the room, checking for others. Gustavo looks at the gun, looks into the eyes of the man holding it, and sees certain death. And then the gunman fires. Gustavo flinches to the side in the nick of time. The bullet grazes his knuckle, then catches his left ear. Gustavo falls to the ground, bleeding profusely. He lies still. he can hear a struggle coming from Berta's room. Three gunshots! And then, nothing. The gunmen leave. They think he's dead. But Gustavo hears Berta call his name. He rushes to her room. She's on the floor, bleeding from wounds to her stomach. Gustavo cradles her in his arms. As she fades, he asks her not to go. But in less than a minute, one of the Lenka's greatest defenders is gone. 7 men were convicted of Berta Cáceres' murder. Some connected to Dessa, some former military men. David Castillo was found guilty of co-orchestrating her murder and was sentenced to more than 20 years in prison. But his co-conspirators aren't even identified by the court. And what about the dam that cost Berta and others their lives? Well, after her colleague Thomas Garcia's death, Chinese dam-building giant Sinohydro pulled out of the project. And after Berta's death, Dessa's 3 major backers also withdrew. So did German engineering firms like Siemens, who were supposed to supply components. In 2018, the project was halted indefinitely. You might think, well, that's it for this dam project in Honduras, but it hasn't been officially cancelled yet. With more funding, the project could be revived. A few days before she was killed, Berta had tried to prepare her children. "This country is f***ed," she said. "But if anything happens to me, don't be afraid." Berta's daughter, Berta Zuniga, has taken up her mother's advice and her cause. She's now the head of COPING, the organization Berta created. "Her spirit accompanies and protects me," Zuniga says. "I know she's with me." Assassins is hosted by me, Aslan Pahari. Hannah Jose is the producer. Sound by Tegan Nichols. Kyla Slaven is the supervising producer. Executive producers are Joel Werner, Eric George, and Jessica Radburn. As well as listening to Assassins, you can watch full episodes of the show on YouTube and Spotify. Those videos are shot and edited by Tejas Bhatt. If there's an assassination you think we should cover on the show, please email us, assassins@abc.net.au. I hope to hear from you soon, my friend.